Good morning and welcome to Simply Economics. It's Thursday, March 28th. On today's show, Turkish Airlines receives three Airline Economics Aviation 100 awards, and the Nebraska leading economic indicator rises sharply in February. Plus, we'll be discussing inequality and rising mortality rates in America with Angus Deaton. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Economics. We start off with a look at Turkish Airlines, a globally recognized aviation provider, which has recently been awarded three financing awards at the 13th Airline Economics Aviation 100 ceremony in Dublin. This follows the airline's significant investment of $900 million for the acquisition of eight new generation innovative aircraft. Here to delve deeper into this is James, a correspondent for Simply Economics. Can you tell us more about these awards and what they mean for Turkish Airlines?
Certainly, David. Turkish Airlines won the Global Lease Deal of the Year, JOLCO Deal of the Year, and Supported Finance Deal of the Year awards. These awards are a testament to Turkish Airlines' position as a leading European airline that continues to excel in the global aviation industry with its strategic investments rooted in innovation.
Can you give us more details about these deals that led to the awards?
Absolutely. The Global Lease Deal of the Year was for a US Ex-Exim Bank-supported French tax lease for three B787 aircraft. The JOLCO Deal of the Year was for a European Export Credit Agency-supported multi-currency JOLCO for two A350 aircraft. And the Supported Finance Deal of the Year was for a first-of-its-kind Itasca reinsurance-covered financing for three A321neo aircraft.
It seems Turkish Airlines has a history of winning such awards. Can you tell us more about their past achievements?
Indeed, Turkish Airlines has been recognized by world-renowned organizations such as Global Transport Finance, Airline Economics, Air Finance Journal, and Bonds, Loans, and Sukuk Turkey for its creative financing models. Many of these models have been implemented for the first time. Since 2009, Turkish Airlines has won 29 international aircraft finance awards for its successful executions amounting to approximately $16 billion.
What about the innovations Turkish Airlines has introduced?
Turkish Airlines has been at the forefront of several innovative financing solutions in the aviation industry. These include the first ever Itasca reinsurance-covered finance lease in 2023, the first ever ACG aircraft financing solutions guaranteed Italian tax lease in 2021, and the first ever UKF guaranteed French tax lease in 2020, among others.
Turkish Airlines is certainly making strides in innovative financing. Thanks for that update, James. Now let's shift our focus to Nebraska, where the leading economic indicator has seen a significant rise in February, according to a recent report from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. This indicator, which predicts economic activity 6 months ahead, has increased by a rapid 3.48%. Here to discuss this further is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Economics. Can you tell us more about this indicator and what it suggests for the future?
Certainly, David. The leading economic indicator is a composite of six components: business expectations, building permits for single-family homes, airline passenger counts, initial claims for unemployment insurance, the value of the U.S. dollar, and manufacturing hours worked. The recent sharp increase suggests that Nebraska's economy will experience strong growth during the summer of 2024.
That's quite a prediction. Can you tell us more about the components of this indicator and how they performed in February?
Yes, five out of the six components improved in February. Manufacturing hours worked saw a rapid increase, and business expectations were also positive. This suggests that Nebraska's manufacturing sector is benefiting from strong demand for food products and recent improvements in the national manufacturing industry. Additionally, Nebraska businesses have reported plans to increase both sales and employment over the next 6 months.
What about the housing industry? How is it faring in Nebraska, especially given the high interest rates?
Despite high interest rates, there were signs of strength in Nebraska's home building industry in February. There was a sharp increase in building permits for single-family homes, even after adjusting for seasonal factors. This is likely due to a limited supply of existing homes on the market, which is supporting demand for new housing in Nebraska.
It seems like there's a lot of positive economic activity expected for Nebraska in the coming months. Is there a place where our listeners can find more detailed information about these indicators?
Yes, the full report and a technical report describing the indicators are available on the Bureau of Business Research website.
Thanks for the insights, Michael. Now, shifting our focus to a renowned figure in the field of economics, let's talk about Sir Angus Deaton. A British-American economist, Deaton is known for his analysis of consumer demand, poverty, and welfare. His work has earned him the 2015 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences. However, he is perhaps most famous for his work on inequality in America, particularly through his influential 2020 bestseller, Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism, co-authored with his wife, Anne Case. In this book, they highlight the rising mortality rates among white non-elderly Americans, a trend largely due to a rise in drug and alcohol poisonings, suicide, and chronic liver diseases. Here to discuss this further is Bella, a correspondent for Simply Economics. Bella, could you tell us more about Sir Angus Deaton's work and its impact on our understanding of inequality in America?
Certainly, David. Sir Angus Deaton's work has been instrumental in shedding light on the economic disparities in America. His book, Deaths of Despair and the Future of Capitalism, co-authored with Anne Case, has been particularly influential. They coined the term deaths of despair to describe the rising mortality rates among white non-elderly Americans, a trend largely due to a rise in drug and alcohol poisonings, suicide, and chronic liver diseases. This trend, they argue, is linked to broad social and economic trends, including increasing divergences between less educated and well-educated Americans on indicators of well-being, such as wages, labor force participation, marriage, social isolation, obesity, and pain.
That's quite a grim picture. Now, in a recent podcast discussion, Sir Angus Deaton discusses his new book, Economics in America, An Immigrant Economist Explores the Land of Inequality. Could you tell us more about this book and its main arguments?
In Economics in America, An Immigrant Economist Explores the Land of Inequality, Sir Angus Deaton explores the economic landscape of his adoptive country, the United States. He discusses his education in Britain, the work that led to his Nobel Prize, the impact of the Nobels on the economics profession, and the principal questions he has wrestled with as an economist in the United States. One of his main arguments is that the decline in jobs for less educated Americans in response to globalization and technological change has led the U.S. to become an outlier among developed countries in terms of its declining life expectancy and other indications of a failure of social flourishing. He also criticizes the grotesquely exorbitant cost of the U.S. healthcare system and the country's fragmentary safety net.
That's quite a critique of the American economic system. How has this book been received in the economics community?
The book has been well received for its insightful analysis and candid critique of the American economic system. It has sparked important discussions about inequality, the role of globalization and technological change, and the need for reform in areas such as healthcare and social safety nets. However, like any work that challenges established views, it has also faced some criticism. Some economists argue that Deaton's focus on pre-distribution rather than redistribution oversimplifies the complexities of economic inequality. Others question his emphasis on the role of globalization and technological change in job losses, pointing to other factors such as policy choices and institutional changes.
Interesting. Now, in a recent debate with Larry Summers, Deaton asked if economists have any responsibility for the current state of affairs. What are his views on this?
Deaton's question reflects a broader debate within the economics profession about the role of economists in shaping policy and influencing societal outcomes. He suggests that economists may have contributed to the current state of affairs by promoting certain policies or economic models without fully considering their potential social and economic impacts. For example, he criticizes the profession's general support for free trade and immigration, arguing that these policies have contributed to job losses and wage stagnation for less educated Americans. He also criticizes the profession's focus on GDP growth as the primary measure of economic success, arguing that this overlooks important aspects of human welfare, such as dignity, community, and democratic participation.
That's a thought-provoking perspective. Finally, what solutions does Deaton propose to address these issues of inequality and despair?
Deaton argues for a shift in focus from redistribution to pre-distribution, which involves intervening in the market to ensure a more equitable distribution of resources before taxes and transfers. This could involve policies such as raising the minimum wage, strengthening labor protections, and reforming the healthcare system. He also calls for a more balanced approach to trade and immigration, taking into account their potential impacts on jobs and wages. Finally, he emphasizes the need for economists to listen more to those whose views differ from their own, and to consider the broader social and political implications of their work.
Thanks for joining us, Bella. In other news, Daniel Kahneman, a psychologist who won a Nobel Prize in economics for his work on how neurological biases influence decision-making, has passed away at the age of 90. Kahneman, along with his collaborator Amos Tversky, reshaped the field of economics, challenging the assumption that people are rational actors. Here to discuss Kahneman's work and its impact is our correspondent, Celeste. Can you tell us more about Kahneman's contributions to economics?
Certainly, David. Kahneman and Tversky's research focused on how decision-making is influenced by subconscious quirks and mental shortcuts, which can distort our thoughts in irrational yet predictable ways. They showed that people's decisions are not always based on clear evaluation of choices, but are often influenced by these inherent biases.
Can you give us an example of these biases?
One example Kahneman often cited was the false confidence in predictions. He described a leaderless group challenge used by the Israeli army to assess future leadership potential. Observers would confidently identify potential leaders from these challenges, only to find their assessments bore little relation to how the same soldiers performed at officer training school. Despite this, the observers' confidence in their own judgments remained unshaken. Kahneman termed this the illusion of validity.
Interesting. And what about Kahneman's collaboration with Tversky?
Their partnership began in 1969 and was incredibly productive. They worked so closely that they alternated the lead authorship on their papers. Kahneman described their collaboration as owning a goose that could lay golden eggs, referring to their joint mind that was better than their separate minds.
What were some of their key findings?
One of their central insights was that people react far more intensely to losses than to equivalent gains. This concept, known as loss aversion, helps explain why many people prefer status quo choices when making decisions. Based on this and other findings, they developed a theory of risky choice they named prospect theory.
And this work led to Kahneman's Nobel Prize?
Yes, Kahneman received the Nobel Prize in economics in 2002 for these contributions. They underpin the discipline now known as behavioral economics. It's widely believed that Tversky would have shared the prize had he not passed away in 1996, as the Nobel is not awarded posthumously.
That was Simply Economics reporter Celeste, shedding light on the life and work of Daniel Kahneman. Thanks for your insights, Celeste. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Economics. We'll see you back here tomorrow.